Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 169, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land. And what follows in the first three stanzas of Psalter 169.
scripture reading for this Thanksgiving morning service will be from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, After that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, ever merciful, long-suffering God of the heavens and of the earth, thou dost bring us together on a special occasion, which man does set aside in acknowledgement of thee, the true and the living God. Thy servant did say, In thee we live, and we move, and we have our being. Thou hast created us, but thou art also our upholder, and thou art also our benefactor. For without thee we can do nothing, We cannot uphold ourselves or provide for ourselves and our children for one moment, so that we are completely dependent upon Thee each and every day. O Lord, our eyes are so closed to see the reality. Our hearts are so closed to all Thy goodness and Thy long-suffering. And we take all things so for granted. When the planets do move through their courses, when the sun arises each morning and goes down in the evening, and man goeth about his labors until the evening, when the springs are placed in the valleys which run among the hills, so that the young lions also are seeking their meat from God. The birds also, they do have their place in the branches of the trees. And Thou dost give unto man bread to strengthen his heart. And Thou dost give unto him oil even for his face to shine. Not only the necessities, but also the benefits, the blessings, the prosperity in which Thou hast showed unto us and our children also in the season that is gone by. We have laid it before Thee in prayer in the beginning of this season, and asked that Thou would go with us to bless the labors of our hands. And Thou hast, through all disappointments, through all afflictions, through all trials and crosses, Thou hast shown Thyself to be a hearer and an answerer of prayer to those who do not deserve it. O Lord, wilt Thou forgive all of our many, many sins? And wilt Thou wash us and cleanse us in that precious and all-atoning blood of Thy dear Son? Oh, that our hearts may go out unto Thee this day, because we read in Thy word, "Knowest Thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth Thee to repentance?" Oh, that Thy goodness this day may break our hard and stony hearts, and that we may come with a true heart of gratitude and thanksgiving, and with a desire to devote ourselves and all our goods unto Thy worthy service, that we may love one another, and that we may love Thee above all, and that it may be evident what lies in our hearts by our deeds. Lord, that Thou may give also humble hearts unto those who have received not only that spiritual, that natural meat and drink, but who have also been given to eat and to drink from that fountain of living waters, as something of the flesh and of the blood, of thy dear and only begotten Son. For there is no provision that thou givest as the provision for thy church, or that thou may humble also their hearts under thy goodness, and that it may lead them also to a true repentance, because we are so slothful, and we do not as we ought in the midst of thy church and of this world. Wilt thou humble us under thy goodness in the nation in which we dwell, for thy provision, and when thou hast given peace, and when thou hast given prosperity, Lord, wilt thou grant also that those who do lead and govern us may this day bow their knees before thee to acknowledge thee for all thy gifts and blessings with a desire in their hearts to rule according to thy holy word and testimonies. Wilt thou look upon us as a denomination, humble us under thy goodness, when thou hast provided also students in our theological school, those to instruct them, the means to support them, and when thou dost yet prosper us, O Lord, humble us under this thy goodness, because it could be so different. Humble us under the blessings of our Christian education that may be given unto our children in our own school. And when thou hast heard also our cries, to deliver us from those threats which did abound, Lord, that thou may give also hearts to acknowledge thee. And wilt thou grant unto us all together, also as families, and thou knowest also the needs and the cares that are those who this day do look back unto a season where thy hand was laid heavily upon them, when thou hast taken away even their own children. O Lord, remember them this day. O give them to bow under all thy doings, and to acknowledge thee for all thy ways, though it goes so against our flesh. All those that mourn, and do strengthen and uphold them in all of their trials, and those that are afflicted and sick, wilt thou look upon us in this hour. Do help us to bring a little portion of thy holy word. Strengthen us for this labor. Grant us matter. Grant us words. Grant us thy spirit to speak and to hear. Grant us thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. There will be only one collection today for the church. Let us sing from Psalter 250, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee, Most High Accord, to show thy love with morning light, and tell thy faithfulness each night. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 250. Beloved congregation, there is nothing that is so offensive to a man from his fellow men here below as ingratitude. And that is not only by men, but that is also so concerning the Lord Himself. We read that Hezekiah was sick, even unto death, and the Lord spared him, but he rendered not again according to the benefit that was done unto him. And this has provoked the wrath of the Lord. Today we have a Thanksgiving day. And for what reason is such a day set aside? Because, boys and girls, we would say that every day, and that ought to be the same. But we have hearts that do not do as we ought to do. And therefore it is a good thing when a special day may be set aside, that we may consciously look within ourselves and ask whether we do acknowledge the benefits which are given unto us. And with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider something of this with you in this morning out of the words of our text, which can be found in Genesis chapter 13, and thereof the 18th verse. Genesis 13, verse 18. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So far the words of our text. Abram builds an altar unto the Lord. First, the place of this altar. And second, the intention with this altar. Abram builds an altar unto the Lord. First, the place where he built it, boys and girls. And second, the intention, that means what he meant to do by this altar. And built an altar unto the Lord. What is, congregation, the purpose of an altar? That is to worship. So that is, children, the same as we try to do here in the house of God. And such an altar that is embodying the entire worship that is lying in the heart of a man. That is prostration. That is acknowledgement of the Lord. That is supplication, and that is also thanksgiving. That is the sure fruit, that is the certain fruit of a heart that has been truly humbled before the Lord, to build an altar unto the Lord. And we see that here in the life of Abraham. And we would ask ourselves, what then has humbled Abraham so, that he desires to acknowledge the Lord, that he desires to worship the Lord? You'll say, young people, well, Abram was rich. That is true. That is what we read here. Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Maybe you say, if I was also so rich, then I would also have a humble heart, that I would also desire to thank the Lord. Well, hopefully so, but we cannot be sure. And why not? Because riches in themselves, they do not give a man a humble heart. Do we have proof of that? We do. We do in this, actually, a very sad chapter in the Word of God, because we read here of another man. And we read here of the nephew of Abram. And we read of him and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Thus Abram, he was rich. But Lot, his nephew, he was also rich. But the life of Lot, that was far from a life of gratitude. What made Abram then so humble? Say, Abram, he was a God-fearing man. Ah, that is true. But what about Lot? Was he not a man that feared the Lord? When you would look at the history, and then there may be a question in your heart, whether this man truly feared the Lord. But if you can read in the New Testament, then the Apostle Peter speaks about Lot, and he does so by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he calls Lot by the name of the Lord, a righteous man. He says that righteous man dwelling among the Sodomites, he vexed his righteous soul day by day. Thus it is not man alone. No, it is the Lord himself who says that this man, this Lot, he is a chosen vessel. He is one who has been elected from all eternity. That is one of his chosen that the Lord has delivered out of Sodom itself. But God's people, they are not without sin. Oh, they are not a sinless people, young people. No, God's children, they are a forgiven people. Do you also wish to be a forgiven people? Because that is also possible for you. Riches, they are a great blessing. But you know, we cannot always handle riches. And also God's children, and they cannot always handle riches. And so it is a mercy if the Lord, he is then dealing with his children in a way that is good for their soul. And so those riches, they had to be taken away from Lot. The riches of Abraham and Lot, they are so great, we read that they cannot dwell together. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. That is the sad part about riches, that so often riches, they are separating one from the other. Do they do that too in our life? Is our business so successful, and that it takes up all our energy and all of our time, so that we have a separation between ourselves and our loved ones, our wives and our children? That is the sad part, often about riches. But we read even more sadness. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Strife. Strife over what? Strife over the gifts from heaven. Strife over the gifts of God. Is that now gratitude? Is that now thankfulness? Here it is, we read between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. Each of them children, they are standing for their master. Each of them, they are being loyal to their master. They wish to see their own master prosper. But do you know what they do not realize? And that at the same time, they are making a division. They are making a separation between their masters, and that was bad enough in itself. But we read here, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. Thus, it is even worse. Why? When there is strife. There is strife between the herdmen of Abram and the herdmen of Lot. But we must remember that there are also those who are on the outside of us. It was a very dangerous thing for Abram and Lot that they should be dividing, lest those that are about them, they should take advantage of such a division that is within them. And this is also so true today, because when the world will see a division within the church, then the world is mocking, and the world is also taking advantage of such a division that they may sow more discord, and that Satan himself may be victorious over the church of God. And thus it is a very dangerous thing. But it is not only a dangerous thing, it is also a blot. It is a blot upon the name of the Lord. Because in the midst of all of these people, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, they do not know the Lord. And they see Lot and Abram, they are a separate people. They're a people who are worshiping as they do not worship. They're a people that are maintaining that they are the children and that they have the knowledge of the true God. And then they may see that there is strife and that there is division among them. What does the Lord say to David? He says, "You have given occasion for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." And this has caused the punishments, the afflictions of the Lord to come down upon David, and so that it does also unto the entire church of God. Abram cannot bear it. And Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Let there be no strife." He cannot bear when there is strife. Can you not bear when there is strife? Brethren, they should seek to put an end to strife. What a disappointment, what a grief is strife, boys and girls, that is among you, between your brothers and sisters. What a grief that is to your mother and to your father. Will you always remember that? That you do not grieve your mother and your father. How much more a grief is it to the Lord when there is strife between his own children? When there is strife between brethren, let there be no strife between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, peacemakers." Are we also peacemakers? It may not be done at the expense of truth. It may not be done at the expense of justice. It may not be done at the expense of what is right. The Lord Jesus, God Himself, He does not do such a thing. But it often may be at the expense of our own honor. It may be at the expense of our own self-interest, especially of the Lord, because they are people that are supposed to have an interest that is higher. than all the interests that are in the midst of this world. And so that was with Abram. As we see it here also, he says, "It is not the whole land before thee. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Who had more right to the land? The entire land of Canaan? Abram or Lot? You say that was Abram. It was not to Lot that the Lord has called in the first place. It was not to Lot that the Lord has given this land, but it was to Abram. Rights, congregation. What must we think about rights? The rights of men. Our rights are very important. And our rights, the rights of men, they must be protected. Where do rights come from? We did not give them to ourselves. Rights, they come from the Lord. He gives a man a right. We have heard that the day of yesterday morning. We have heard that the Lord gives to men rights to property. And those rights, they must be maintained because they are rights that are given unto us from the Lord. And it is a sinful thing if we do not maintain this. And when we think about the right of religious freedom, for example, then it is most important that we are standing for and attempting to protect those rights. The rights to freedom of thought, the rights to the freedom of speech, then it would be a sinful thing if we would allow those rights to be eroded away from us. We think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle has made good use of his rights as a Roman citizen. And that was a right thing for him to do. That right was given unto him by the Lord, and he has used that right for a very good purpose in this world. But sometimes it is fitting that a man, he is foregoing his rights. When there is no good purpose, when there is no advantage that is coming to him for holding on to those rights, Then when a man, he is only upholding himself, when he is only seeking himself, then there are times that those rights, then it is better that we are letting them go. That is what we read here. And because Abram is willing here, we read, to take the lesser part and to say to Lot that he may now have that first choice. Abram had received this land. He had received the promise of the Lord by faith. Could he always depend on that promise? If you go to the chapter before, and you see that Abram was down in Egypt, there he could not believe. And there he had to say unto his wife, "Say that you are my sister," because that faith that is not always in exercise as it ought to be. But here Abram, he is able now to leave this matter in the hands of the Lord. And he says now to Lot that you may make that first choice. How does that go? What do we read? We read, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the land, all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. What a sinful covetousness. What a sinful greed can live in the heart of a man, can live even in the heart of one of God's own people. Grace does not change a man's character, though it can take away the sharp edges, though it can take the worst part of it and make it less. But we see here still that sinful nature in a man. And when that close life unto the Lord, that is waning. And when that heavenly mindedness, when that is waning, then it is possible for God's children even and to lift up their eyes and to behold all the land of the Jordan, that it is well watered everywhere. To lift up their eyes and to behold all the riches, all the blessings that are to be received for this temporal life and in this world. How grieving unto the Lord. What an ingratitude. David was rebuked when he has taken another man's wife. The Lord came to him and he said to him, "Have I not anointed thee king over Israel? Have I not delivered thee from Saul? Have I not given thee the house of Saul? Have I not given thee his wives into thy bosom? Have I not given thee Israel and Judah? And if it had been not enough, I would have given thee such and such things." What did the Lord do, children? He had it all on record. All on record what he gave to David. And he brought it back to him. He says, "I gave you this, and I gave you that, and I gave you that, and I gave you that." You know, the Lord, he has also a record of what he has given us. Maybe, children, today you can think about that record that is in heaven. Maybe you can ask yourself, what is it that the Lord has written down? What is it that the Lord is going to come back to me with? What is it that he is going to say to me? "I gave you this, I gave you that, I gave you that." Will you think about that today on Thanksgiving Day? Because the Lord considers it this day on Thanksgiving Day. And David, though the Lord says, "I gave you this, and I gave you that, and I gave you that," he says, "Now you wanted something that I did not give you. And you have taken something that I did not give you." Does the Lord have to say that also to us on this Thanksgiving Day? Does he have to say, "There is a man, a woman, a child There are desires in their heart, longings in their heart, for things that I have said, they are not yours. I have given you this and I have given you that. But there are also things that I have withheld from you. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And when he lifted up his eyes and he saw that plain, the south there, and he saw that that water was running there, that was very, very important. And all the pastures in that part, they looked so nice and green. Then he said to his uncle Abram, he said, "Uncle, you see that land there?" He says, "You must take that. Because, uncle, that really belongs to you. The best part belongs to you. You have to go that way." Is that what he said, children? No, that is not what he said. That is not what he did. What did he do? And Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. You do that too? Do you do that too? When you have to choose, that you are going to choose always the best part. What happens when you choose the best part? Or the part you think is best? Well, then the part that is not best, that gets left for someone else, right? You say, "I take the better part." Oh, that shows something about our character. Lot, what kind of a man was Lot? Lot has shown something of his selfish character. And remember that Lot was rich. He was not a poor man. He did not need to do this. But he had many flocks and herds and tents himself. But he wanted more. And he wanted more even above his uncle Abram. And with all those blessings, this he does is not that sad. He was not humbled under the blessings of the Lord. But there is even more. Because we read here, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Thus, what kind of life was Abram called to live? You say he was called to live a separate life. The Lord had said to Abram, "Come out, be ye separate." He had sent him away from his family, from his country. That is the same as all God's children. They are called to live a separate life. Are they called to live in a life of poverty? The Lord, he says, "I will take care of that." He says, "Your bread shall be sure, and your water shall be sure." But Lot's selfish desires, they are so strong that they are overcoming even the fear of the Lord that is living in his heart, that he would live as a separate people. Do you think Lot had good intentions? Indeed. The Lord says he was a righteous man. But oh, that bosom sin, that temptation that was too strong for him, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, he did not go right into Sodom. Now, we do not do that all in one day. He only pitched his tent in the direction of Sodom. That is what we do. then we say, I will go only a little ways, and I will just do a little business there. But it is not long before we read in the Bible that Lot, he is sitting in the gate of Sodom. He becomes an inhabitant of Sodom not only, but he becomes even into, as it were, the council of Sodom. How grieved that the Lord must have been with Lot, with all that he had given him, flocks and herds and tents. He had no need of Sodom. How grieved with all the temporal blessings and that the Lord had bestowed upon his son. Will the Lord just let him go now? What do you think, children? That is one of his people. That is one of his own elect. It is one of his own children. The Lord does not forsake his people. But Lot, he cannot handle riches. And so what does the Lord do? The Lord, he sends his angel. He says, Lot, come now, out. And he has to leave everything behind. Flee to the mountains. And there he has to live. Now what happened to all the Lord had given him? Even though he was so selfish, even though he was so covetous, or when he has gone in that direction, oh, then he had to turn about when he comes into those mountains and see all those gifts and all those benefits. And they are arising as smoke into heaven. What a mercy. What a mercy. What a blessing that the Lord, he has delivered that man from his bosom sin. And how did it go with Abram? Did the Lord do the same with Abram? Let us sing first. 222, stanzas 4 through 7. O my people, hear my pleadings. Oh, that thou wouldst hearken now. No strange worship shalt thou offer, nor to idols shalt thou bow. 4 through 7 of Psalter 222.
Thank you.
We may be sure, congregation, that Abram is sad. And why is Abram sad? Say, well, he has lost such a beautiful piece of land. Think that is why he's sad, children? No, surely not. Are you sad today because you have lost some of your cattle? Maybe some of your harvest. Maybe you have lost some opportunity. Maybe on prayer day, you had looked forward to a blessing that was not as high and as grand as it has turned out to be. Abram, he is not sad about this. Abram, you may be sure, he is sad about his nephew. About his nephew Lot. But he doesn't say anything. At least we don't read of that. But he is quiet. The congregation, the Lord knows his sadness. Does the Lord know your sadness too? And the Lord does something. The Lord comes to Abram when he is sad. He appears to him. And he speaks to him. If Abram had nothing else in his life, if he had nothing, wouldn't Abram now be richer than the richest man in this world? Because the Lord came to him. Because the Lord spoke to him. Because the Lord thought upon him. Do you know what David says? He says, I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. And that was such a wonder to him. Oh, to know that there were thoughts of him in heaven. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. What is now all the possession of Lot? What is all the possession of a man that his covetous heart has sought after, and that he has taken not by right, compared to that blessing that the Lord himself is giving a man? This is not a portion that was as well watered everywhere as that land of Jordan. This is not a portion that was as valued in the eyes of man in this world. Was not even as valued in the eyes of God's child, Lot himself. But is it not the Lord who opens the heavens? Is it not the Lord who watereth the earth? Is it not the Lord who sends the springs in the valleys? Oh, this land, that land of Canaan, that Lot has rejected, oh, that is a land that will be in the future, a land that is going to receive the blessing of the Lord. You can read about Moses later. Then he has spoken to the children of Israel when they were in that land of Egypt. And then he's speaking about that prospect. And he says, now that land whither thou goest, that is not like the land of Egypt as thou hast come out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot like a garden of herbs, but that land whither thou goest, that is a land of hills and of valleys, that drinketh the rain from the heavens. Oh, that land whither thou goest is a land that the Lord careth for. The eyes of the Lord, they are upon it. And the Lord is watching it each and every day. That is now that land of Canaan. Abram lost nothing by the covetousness of his nephew, because he has the presence of the Lord and he has the favor of the Lord. And that favor that does not just lie in an earthly blessing, because Abram, he also has the promise of the Lord. Say the promise of the Lord for the future here in Canaan, in this world. It is not. How do we know that? Well, because the Lord says it here. Concerning this land, he says, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. How long will that earthly Canaan last? That will not be forever. And thus the Lord, he is pointing Abraham here to something so much higher. He is pointing him to eternal realities. He is pointing him to a heavenly Canaan. Abraham, he will remain all his life a stranger in the land of Canaan. He is a man that will go over that land of Canaan, removing his tent. That's what the first thing we read here in this last verse. Then Abram removed his tent. And so he will remain a nomad. He will remain a stranger in the land of Canaan. And that is as a testimony that this land of Canaan, that is nothing but a type, that is a type of that heavenly Canaan. And that the Lord, he has given a promise unto him, and not concerning merely this land, and not concerning merely the earthly things, but that the Lord has given a promise unto him concerning those spiritual things, those heavenly things, those eternal things. O congregation, how was it now? How was it in this past season? Have you received more than earthly goods? There is so much that can make us sad. There is much in our families sometimes that can make us sad. And there is much sometimes in our business that can make us sad. There is much sometimes in our country, in this world, that can make us sad. But is it not sometimes a good thing that we are made sad by these things? That our hearts may be drawn up, up and away? That our hearts may be given to meditate upon those things that are eternal? What do we read about Abram? Then Abram removed his tent and came in the dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and there built an altar unto the Lord. What does Abram say with that altar? Abram is content. Abram is satisfied. Or even more, Abram is glad. For Abram it is good. He removes his tent. And immediately he builds an altar unto the Lord. What is his intention with that altar? That is to worship. He wants to do homage. He wants to bow himself unto the Lord. Do you know what he wants to say? He wants to say, I love thee, Lord. He wants to say, I thank thee, Lord. Though it does not all go according to my flesh, though it does not go all according to my desires, though I have to wander in Egypt, in the famine, and though now I have to miss that bosom friend, do you have to miss even a child, a loved one? And yet Abram, he builds an altar unto the Lord. And he wants to say, O Lord, I love thee. O Lord, I thank thee. O Lord, I desire to serve thee with all my substance, with all my house, and with all my heart. Congregation, how is it with us on this Thanksgiving Day? Is it as with Lot? Or is it as with Abram? Is it cold? The dead? With all the gifts? Is it that with all the blessings, our intention that is to take those blessings and pitch our tent towards Sodom? Or is there something in our heart, the bottom of our heart, in this morning hour, that desires to build an altar unto the Lord and to say, O Lord, I love thee. O Lord, I thank thee. O Lord, I desire to serve thee with all my substance, with all my house, and with all my heart. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do humble us under thy gifts, for they are great. They are manifold. And we are undeserving of the least of all thy notice or attention. Bring us in the right place where we cannot bring ourselves to build thee an altar, to bow, to worship. We may acknowledge thee for thy help. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon hour. Help thy servant. Strengthen him also for his labors and all thy servants this day. And give profit together for Jesus' sake. Amen. 310, 1, 3, 5, and 6. I love the Lord. For my request and humble plea, he makes his care. In him, through life, my faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. 1, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 310.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.